And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is 5:15 p.m., July 31st, 2018. You are now tuned into the Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Terry Tackett, and I will turn it over to the host of the show, Steve Whitaker. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Terry. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
Again, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker. I'm glad to be with you guys tonight. This is a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. I am just coming off 4 days with my family on a little camping trip that we try to do annually. And that was, we've got 13 grandchildren, and there's now, counting my children and spouses, there's 10 of us adults. So there's quite a few people around the campfire. Good time. Last night we sat around and everyone got to make up a ghost story. And listening to the younger ones tell ghost stories and make them up as they went, that was quite entertaining, let me tell you. But yeah, we had a good time. Talk a little bit tonight about changing our focus. You ever think about that? Where is your focus? What are the things your mind is on the most? And, you know, maybe where should it be? And, you know, from a biblical perspective, God, of course, wants our focus first on Him, and then our focus on others, and last, He wants our focus on ourselves. And I was able to think of a little bit about that while I was gone. We went on a little camping trip, just went over to Indy Lake, the state park, and we had kind of a secluded cul-de-sac, and all of us had a spot around it. There's, counting the kids, there's five families. And it was kind of nice to have, you know, once you get away, especially there, for some reason, I had no signal at all on my phone. So it was kind of a time where I was, let's just say I was forced into seclusion. But that's not always a bad idea, is it? And we think about our focus. Do you ever get, Terry, do you ever get so caught up in everything that you can't think straight?
Yep. A lot of times, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just...
You got so much on your mind and everything that you just...
Can't accomplish anything. Yeah, yeah. I got another one. How about you get up on a Saturday morning, you got the day off, and you've got so many things to do, you can't decide which one to do first, and you end up doing none of them.
Exactly. That is me in a nutshell right there. Yes.
You know what? I don't think it's just you, buddy. I think it's just about everybody that gets busy like that.
I have even went to the point of making a list and still not getting anything done.
Mm-hmm. I think almost what you have to do is say, well, this Saturday, there's 10 things I need to do, but I'm going to make, this is the only thing I'm going to try to get done, and not even worry about the list. But if you get it done, and it's not something you got to do again right away, at least that one's done. You can go to number two, number three, number four. And I don't know, though. I think we just get all so crazy busy. But I want to talk a little bit about taking our focus off of ourselves. And I think one of the reasons we focus so much on ourselves is because we haven't, first of all, taken care of the things we need to take care of for ourselves. And number two, ourselves are not satisfied. You really think about that. So we think a lot about ourselves. You know, I'm not making enough money. How am I going to pay this bill? You know, there's really very few people that are financially independent, to where they don't have to worry about bills. And it's amazing in a country that is, dare I say, on world standards, very affluent, that most people in America have no savings whatsoever of any kind. And most people in America are living paycheck to paycheck to paycheck, aren't we? Huh? It's just the way it is. And but really, when you think about it, if you look back and throughout history, most people... lived from week to week and month to month. I mean, the crops better come in, so to speak. The fish better be out there. I remember my daughter was on a mission trip in the Philippines, and the family she was staying with said they ate when they caught fish. The brothers and the father had a fishing boat. They would go out and they would fish, and if they caught fish, they ate. If they caught no fish, they waited till the next day to catch fish because that's what they ate. They might have some rice, but besides rice, it was just rice and fish. Kind of interesting, isn't it? But, you know, what about our focus and where we are? Something struck me a little bit while I was gone and in that secluded time and being quiet of all the things that I do that I don't really need. I was pretty... I was set, man. I'm telling you, I had a camper. I had a phone that wasn't getting any signal. I've got an old 1976 14-foot camper. It's in great shape. I bought it a couple years ago from the Restore store of all places. Someone had donated it. Paid like $700 for this thing, and it had been in a garage its entire life, so it was in really good shape. But it has no modern amenities whatsoever to speak of. But anyway, I even had to walk to the bathroom because I don't have none of that stuff hooked up. We weren't even on a site where you could. But, you know, in thinking about that stuff and what was going on, it allowed me to begin to think about not just things that were important and people that were important, but I began to think about relationships. Relationships with my grandchildren, the time I spent with them. I actually took a stick. I asked my grandkids to go find me a stick. And they found me a stick about 15 to 18 inches long, something like that. And I carved out a thing, and I made the end so I could fix a hook link on it. And I made a little fishing pole for my grandson. And I attached a reel to it with duct tape. And all he just thought it was the best thing in the world. Carved our names in it. Man, I'll tell you what, it made his day. And it didn't cost me a penny. You know, I had an old reel laying there. I had some duct tape. And so, you know, those kind of things. They're those simplistic things that I think God really intends us to do. It's kind of interesting. I have my grandchildren, I'm pretty blessed that most of my grandchildren are very limited to electronic devices. And their families have them go out and play a lot, and they live on farms and do farm work and that kind of thing. And it's amazing to see their imaginations because they're able to use them. And like I said, when we did the ghost stories last night, it was quite funny. But you know, I was thinking about different things. What's important to us? Terry, if I were to ask you, what's important to you? If you had to put things from the top and come down, what would you say?
Right now?
Yeah, sure. No.
Well, I think right now, I don't know where this ranks in the overall scheme of things, but I think your health, really, you got to...
Absolutely. We start thinking about it more at our age, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
We?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think that's got to at least be number one or two, I would say, on your list. You know, mm-hmm. Obviously your family and friends and, you know...
Faith.
Yeah, faith, absolutely. Yeah.
Certainly your faith.
Yeah, yep.
Beyond that, there isn't, you know, a lot of the things that we deem important aren't really important.
Right.
You know, I might scare a lot of viewers off with this, but does it really matter a hill of beans to either one of us where the Browns ever win a game or not? Is it going to affect your life at all? Is it going to affect your wallet?
No.
No, it's not, isn't. Mm-hmm. But people get so worked up over that stuff. There are important things out there, though. But one thing that's interesting, we read a lot about this in the book of James in the Bible, and it's about being doers of the word and putting others before us, not just being someone that makes a lot of noise, but someone that actually gets something done and does something. And it's about putting yourself out there and it not just being about you all the time, living your faith. I hear a lot of people a lot of times say, oh, I believe in God. I'm a person of faith. I believe. And then you start talking to them. You find out that they really never get beyond their chair. They really don't do anything. You know, one of the things that really wore me down as a young person, you know, I was in a church that was very right. What I mean by that is, they were right. No one else was. They were very strict on what they believed. And I believe their Bible doctrine was very sound. But I never saw anybody getting out of their comfort zone and going out to their neighborhood. Several years later, I went back to that church and I visited a pastor that was there that had come many years after myself. And the church wasn't growing, and they were having a lot of issues. They had to close some things down that they had done for years. And I asked him, I was standing there. Now, when I was a kid at this church, it was basically in the middle of a field. But as I came back there as an older adult, I looked around me, and it was literally housing developments right up to the property's edge, all the way around this place. And I asked him, I said, will you guys get out into this community and do some outreach and stuff? No, but we've been thinking about it. And I thought, thinking about it? You know, the mission field's out there. You should have been out there a long time ago. You wouldn't be where you're at now. You know what I mean? But the people that need you are out there. I today was, my phone popped up, and I noticed that a lady in our church had said, please pray for my family and others with this devastating fires in California for safety and the traffic. I mean, it's really bad there right now. And you think about it, as simplistic as this is, Terry, just to stop for one moment of everything else that's going on. And you know full well when I came back from having a few days off today, I could have really got wrapped up in everything I needed to do. And I started to do that. And I read this thing from this lady, and I stopped. And I began to pray for people I've never seen and do not know and the condition of what's going on. And my mind went to go there to think of scared children, people leaving pets behind, all the things that we hold dear to us suddenly being in jeopardy. And I thought to myself, I really need to have a compassionate heart towards these people and pour these things out in prayer to God, even though I don't have any money to help them. I can't go out to California and help them. There's nothing I could do if I went there. But I think what it does is when we take our focus off us and focus on someone else, it gives us a satisfaction that God has told us will be there if we do that. It's just another one of those evidences of God's truth. And when we take that off of ourselves, have you ever walked around a nursing home? I get an opportunity to do that. And just drop in on people. It's amazing. I'll give you a challenge sometime. Now, try this sometime. Walk into a nursing home and introduce yourself, show them your driver's license, tell them who you are so they don't think you're some weirdo, and say, hey, look, is there anyone here that never gets a visitor that could use cheering up? And I'll be willing to bet they're going to give you several room numbers and several names, and then they'll think of someone and they'll go, oh yeah, Mrs. or Mr. So-and-so in this room could really, and you know what, they'll take you there. And I've done that. And you go in, and next thing you know, you're sitting with some guy that may be 98 years old, and you're finding out that he owned this garage or this business, and his kids aren't around, and many have died, and they're alone, and all of a sudden, you just see him brighten up. Do you know what that does to your own soul? When you take a moment of your time and give it to someone else. Get our minds off politics. I love getting on politics. You've noticed that. You know, I'll be honest with you. As a young person, I was very, very involved in politics as a teenager in some of the youth organizations. And politics have always intrigued me. I love history. I understand politics fairly well. And you notice that on the show, I slam them quite a bit, and only because I understand them, and I know what's going on with them. And I know that we need our political system. We truly do. And it's worked better than anything in the world ever has. However, it does leave some doors open to a little tomfoolery, let's just say. And so I get on them quite a bit about that. There's a lot of politicians I have a lot of admiration and respect for, but we got to hold them accountable. But what I'm getting at is that, you know, we can wrap our minds up in all that. We can have political debates all day long. You and I can sit here and have a political debate all day long. When this microphone's turned off and we're done, you know what? We're not going to solve one problem sitting here between you. And people do it all day long. They do it at work. They do it on the ball field, wherever they go, they do it. They even try to do it in church. You know, sometimes they'll walk in the door, yeah, did you hear about this? And you see two or two guys out in the hall, and they're going, you know. The point is, there's so many positive things we can do. And some do involve politics. If you're going to open your mouth, be proactive and do something too. I'll just say that. But I think whatever we do, I think we need to be, as the Bible says, doers of the word and not hearers only. The Bible tells us that the greatest thing that we can have is love. Wow. What does that mean? What does it mean? Or to have patience, faith, hope, perseverance, love, and the greatest of these is love. Care about other people. Put someone else before yourself. You know, it's kind of amazing when we do that, Terry, that we start feeling better about ourselves, which in turn does us well. If you're going to dig yourself out of a hole, what someone might say and what the world might say is, in that old thing that you used to hear from generations before, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get busy, right? I'm going to possibly put something else out there for you. Pour your heart out for someone else that needs it. And you'll be surprised how quickly you dig yourself up out of a hole. Because when you're thinking of someone else, when your attitude is suddenly better, when you're thinking better, what happens is suddenly you start having a clearer mind, brighter ideas about what you want to do, and it works better. Remember, guys, if you ever want to call us during this program, and I'd love to hear your input, more so than I'd love to hear mine sometimes, but please call us in here at the station at 740-383-9944. We'd love to hear from you, keep this conversation going. But I want to put it out there again, 740-383-9944 is the number here at the station. But, you know, we've got to somehow get past this thing of everything being about us. Last week and the week before a little bit, we talked about parents and children. You know, if your children are going to do well, you've got to decide that you're going to dig in and make it about making sure they're well and quit worrying about my entertainment, my time, what I want to do. You know, the thing is, when we make a commitment to have children, the thing that we make a commitment to at the same time is to raise those children, right? At least we're supposed to. A lot of people, you can't just want to have kids and then say, oh boy, that was fun, let's move on. You know, you've got at least 18 years with that child that you've got to, and if you pour your heart and time into them more so than into yourself, you will benefit and see the rewards and reap those rewards of seeing what goes through that child. So I think that when I say, where is your focus? All these things I mentioned, whether it's your children, you know, putting them first, worrying about someone that is at the end of their life, maybe in a nursing home, they have no one. Maybe someone's had a tragedy like this fire going on or whatever. Whatever it is, that focus isn't on you. It's on them. And there's something intrinsically calming about caring about someone else and putting your concerns on them instead of yourself. And I think that it's something that God instilled in every person. It's something that he instilled in us to be that way. And those that will call him Lord by name, he uses that for the betterment of all kinds of things. That is why, and I don't think that a lot of people realize this, but the largest financial contributor to the needs of the world is the church. It's not our government like people think. It's not other governments. It is the church itself, is the largest giver of humanitarian needs in the world. And it's because God instills in our heart that desire to help people. Our association in Columbus, Metro Columbus Baptist Association, Rich Halcombe is the area director there and of our Metro Columbus Association, and they have a place called the Stowe Center. And at the Stowe Center, it's an amazing place. It's down on South Parsons Avenue, just below Children's Hospital. And they bought out an old car dealership that was there years ago, revamped the place completely. And not only do they have a sanctuary there to reach people for Christ, but they have a huge, huge food pantry. They serve meals there every day of the week. They have a dental clinic that last I remember, I think they had like five or six chairs in that thing where dentists come in and they volunteer free time to fix people's teeth. They have eye doctors that come in. They have a chair set up for people to come in. And as they leave, they get a free card to go get free eyeglasses with a prescription that they're given. They have a pregnancy care center complete with an ultrasound machine, all the stuff that goes with it. They have a training program for young moms to mothers-to-be to train them how to take care of a baby, and they have supplies they give them as they go through this program. They got a Job Corps ministry where they take people that don't have skills, and over a two-year period of time, they teach them to have skills and help them find a job. And along with those skills are the way to talk, how to dress, and all those things that you need to get a proper job in society. They teach computer skills. But I have just touched the surface of this ministry down there in Columbus. It's really gotten quite huge. But all that is done because we desire to reach out to people that aren't where we are. They don't have what we have. Had an interesting conversation with my son-in-law, John, today. He said, Steve, he said, why is it that those of us that have the least seem to always be the first ones willing to step up to help people that sometimes even have more than we do? And he wasn't bragging on himself. That wasn't the purpose of the conversation. And I said, because that's the way it is, and that's the way it's always going to be. Because it's not about what we have. It's about serving others and what they might should have or could have or how we can help them. There's a story in the Bible about the lady that gave the last of her oil, but then her oil jar never went dry. It was out of that heart of compassion and giving the last of that oil that allowed that to completely fill. And if you look at that story, it not only talks about God's provision when we're willing to give of ourselves, right down to the last of ourselves, but it's also saying that, you know, giving, this seems odd to say, giving is the gift that keeps on giving. Because the more you're willing to give and do, the more God is going to provide through you to keep doing that.
I had a story similar to that. A lady had stopped me at work, and she's a devout, you know, Christian lady, and we were talking and stuff. And she the purpose of it was she wanted to thank me. And I said, for what? She said, I just want to let you know that, she said, I went to church the other day. She said, I literally had no money to give to the offering plate. And we were, at the time, we were having a rebate on you know, the paint, if you bought paint. She said, I went to my mailbox that morning, and the rebate check was in there. She said, that was literally all I had. But she said,
but she did.
She said, I was able to do that. She said, I just wanted to, you know, thank you for letting me know about the and I was like, hey, you know, no problem. And
isn't that cool?
Yeah.
I mean, she was willing to give. Willing, yeah, that's amazing.
You know, and I mean, you know, she's probably mid-70, you know, but she's like, I thought that was kind of an, you know.
I'm going to name drop on the air. There's a lady that, Cynthia Layton. Cynthia goes to Cornerstone Missionary Alliance here in town. Okay. And Cynthia, for years, I don't know how old she is now, she's, let's just say she's way past retirement. But Cynthia, for many, many, many years, for decades, took kids to Bible school, to Sunday school, to Awana programs, to where she was on third generation of some of these families. A lot of them she never sees again. A lot of them she sees maybe not go down the right path. But she dedicated her time to picking these kids up and making sure they got there and bringing them home. Religiously, any kid she could get to go, and she would take them to the Awana program, you know, make sure they got to Bible school, any kid that wanted to go to Sunday school. And, you know, if I'm not mistaken, Cynthia has never become wealthy doing this. I'm being sarcastic here. Of course she hasn't become physically wealthy, But the spiritual wealth through that is unbelievable. She is one of the most satisfied ladies I've ever met in my life. She doesn't know the impact of what she's done over the years, but I can guarantee you it's great, because she was that mother figure and that caring figure for many young people that didn't have it. And she was willing to do it. And now Cynthia is up in years. She's got some really bad heart problems. And it just isn't going to get any better. And she knows it. And she tells me, I say, how are you doing? How's your heart? She goes, oh, it's fine. Whatever it'll be. And she just faithfully keeps moving on. And she's too old now to pick up those kids and take them anywhere. But she still asks about them. She prays about them. She'll call me sometimes and leave a message. She'll say, hey, Pastor, have you heard anything about so-and-so? I haven't heard anything in a long time. And they were just on my heart this morning. Of all the people I know, she is one of those that has one of the most satisfied souls of anyone I've ever met. And she has spent her entire adult life helping other people. Doesn't have a big fancy house, big fancy car. I'm sure she lives on very minimal amount. But she's satisfied. She's completely full. Matter of fact, her cup is running over with joy and gladness. And I think that that's something that when I say that your focus, where is your focus? We call it in the church, you can have an eternal focus or you can have a limited earthly focus. An eternal focus is something that, you know, works towards eternity. What are you gaining for the end for God? And then there's that limited focus that just gets burned up. I mean, have you ever gone out and bought something that you really, really wanted? And A, it either disappointed you, or B, something happened to it right away and you didn't get to keep it. That's what happens when we focus on earthly things. Now, as a funny sideline, I'll tell you about my when I was 6 years old, my favorite toy, Hasbro. Remember Hasbro? Yeah. I believe it was Hasbro. Was advertising this thing they called a monster magnet. And it was a plastic thing. It was just these two big arms with a flat head in the middle, kind of a flat device, with two magnets in the end. And you had to have it show these kids sticking it to everything and having a great time in the commercial, you know. I had to have one for my birthday. I think they cost like $2 or $3 back then. And my parents said, well, he really wants that monster magnet. So they bought me this monster magnet for my birthday. And I love to climb trees. The first thing I did was go outside, and I was going to stick that on a branch and swing away. Magnets don't stick to trees. But that's a good example of what happens when we put our hearts, our desires into things that are earthly. You see what I mean? But today, you know, it's just so easy to do. Every commercial, everything we see is buy, 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 buy. You got to have this. You got to have that. And if we could just simplify and back off a little and realize, no, you don't. You know, people say, well, you know, wait a minute, Pastor. That's how the economy keeps going. Our economy is going to keep going. I know that there's some things going on in agriculture right now that are probably going to make a huge adjustment in funds going in and out. But as an old farmer from that background and from having a farm family, I know some adjustments need made. You know, the farmers today are not the farmers of my grandfather and great-grandfather and my wife's grandparents and great-grandparents that worked extremely hard and toiled and worked the ground and made just a living. That's not the farmer in the picture that we see today. And not that they don't work, I don't mean that. And I mean everyone needs to make money, but sometimes there needs to be adjustments. Not everything is about how many vacations you can take, how many new trucks you can buy, how many new cars you can buy, you know, in another business. You know, what do you mean I don't get 8 weeks vacation a year? That's just a standard, isn't it, Terry? It never was for me. I don't take more than a week or two now.
Be honest with you, growing up in my family, my mom couldn't afford, we couldn't afford it, so we didn't even ask for it.
We never went on a vacation.
You know, so me and my sister were just talking about this the other day. We knew our limitations, so we didn't even.
You know, that's a good thing you brought that up. You knew your limitations.
Yeah.
When we were kids, our idea of a vacation was maybe we get lucky and on a Saturday morning, Dad would wake everybody up and say, come on, we're going to Lake Erie for the day.
Yeah.
And we drive up Route 23.
Well, I got, I did get lucky later in my life, probably 10, 11, 12 years old. We once a year, we did splurge and we went to, it used to be called, before it was Zumbezi Bay, Wyandotte Lake. We went there. That was our vacation.
There you, well, you know what? And what was wrong with that? You look forward to it?
Yeah.
You know, my
former, we all got a new outfit and that was our...
Former pastor at Prospect United Methodist, Carolyn Christman, and I were having a conversation. She's told this to several people. She said, I never knew I was poor till I went to college, and I never knew I was privileged till I went to college either. I was told both things. One, I was privileged because of who I was. Mm-hmm. She said, I never felt privileged. And the other thing, I'm told somehow at the same time that I was poor, and I never knew I was poor. And I never felt like I was poor.
Same here, yeah.
And really looking back on it, we didn't have anything. I mean, we barely, especially after my dad was killed.
Yeah.
And my mom was you know, working in school kitchens and altering clothes. And I never felt poor. I think a lot of it was because I was raised to know I had self-worth. And God gives you a lot of self-worth because he chose you to be who you are. What, am I going to complain to God that he put me in the wrong family? Am I going to complain to God that, you know, somehow he should have made me wealthy like the people down the street? Of course not, because I don't know what he has planned for me down the road. And I'm sure he's a lot smarter than I am. And so... be happy with what you have and share what you have. Be willing to share what you have. Because it's not all in money, in things. Things burn up. We're seeing not great, but real examples of that recently with some of the tragedies and some of the wealthiest people in the world. The things they're doing, they're not happy. You know, they say you got to have a lot of money to keep a good woman. You know what? I've been married 41 years and I've never had two nickels to rub together. So that blows that one in the water for me right there, right out of the water. And I think you have to be willing to reach out and love other people and care about other people. And then you're going to find joy in that. And then, you know, it's a lot easier to live if you can live with yourself. Don't you think so? I think so. And I see the...
What's that old term, being comfortable in your own skin?
Yes. And a lot of that comes from... That can be good and bad, depending on who you are and how you're thinking about that. But being and knowing that, you know, there's... Being comfortable in your own skin, knowing that, you know, I'm okay where I am. God's got me here, and he's got me, period. And you know, whatever I can do from this point will be just fine. We didn't have much growing up. You know, my brother and I remember making... bow and arrows out of sticks and string and just, we just didn't have anything, but we didn't know we didn't, and it didn't matter.
So me and my sister, same thing. We talked about it the other day. I mean, we just knew, like I say, we knew our limitations. Our big thing was every year for our birthday, we did get a birthday cake, and that's, we looked forward to that. Just those little things like that, you know, that we.
Absolutely. That's what we did. We got, when I was young, we got $2 for our birthday, we could spend it on whatever we wanted, but we're talking going way back now. But I don't think I'd ever increased that much, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I remember when I told my mom I wanted a car for my 18th birthday, and she put a Matchbox car on my cake. I didn't think that was all too funny. But, you know, the truth was I knew if I was going to have a car, I had to work for it. I had to pay for the gas. I had to pay for the insurance. And guess what? I did. And, today, kids just expect to have it there. And there's that expectation of having things. You know, and people, a lot of times, I see people that it's great to be able to work hard and make things and have money and do those things. It's wonderful. But if you're depending on it for your happiness and you're not sharing it with others, you're going to have a rude awakening one day. Because A, it's not going to be enough. And B, you're missing a huge satisfaction. You really, really are. So what do you think? Do you think that how do we get our focus changed in this country, Terry?
I don't know. I mean, but I do think that down the line, we do have to eventually change our line of thinking.
or it'll change us.
Or it's going to change,
anyway.
Absolutely, yeah. Or somebody's going to change it for us, and we ultimately know who that is.
Right.
You know. But I think a lot of times that you run into trouble, and I've seen this scenario happen several places, is that a lot of people think that if they say they go once a month or whatever, and they might volunteer, oh, well, I'm doing my share. Well, are you really? I mean...
See, that's the whole
point.
Are you really?
I mean, I don't. I mean,
Terry, it's got to become a lifestyle.
Yeah,
not a duty that you gotta perform.
And that's what I see a lot of it too. Which a lot of people attend church, and like I think I've said this on a show or a couple shows ago or whatever. Once they leave there, they think that the church might they can leave that mindset there instead of
right
practicing it every day.
Yeah, the church is a body of people, and the mission field is out there. But, you know, doing something, what's the point in just doing something? You know, God talks about that in Revelation. He calls it the lukewarm church. He says he would rather have us be hot or cold. And if you're lukewarm, he wants to spew you out of his mouth. Well, a cold church, there's help for because they're in such bad shape. They need God. And a hot church, obviously, would be one that was on fire for God. But the lukewarm church is that one that just sits in the middle and says, we're all good. The stained glass looks pretty. Everybody's making a good salary. We feel good about ourselves. We come and have a great song service on Sunday. Music's fantastic. Musicians were good. And we walk out the door and don't do a cotton-picking thing till the next week. Right?
Yeah. And you don't know how many times I've seen a scenario also to where people, if they're in need sometimes, they'll ask those type of people, and you'll see those type of people refer them to other people. Well, you're a member. I mean, shouldn't those people, they were referred, shouldn't they help them instead of referring them to somebody? I mean,
I looked up a church website one day of a church that was one a real loud, active, once-a-day church locally.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And it was real interesting on their helps page. Of where they could get help with A, B, C, and D. It had all these other places listed. It wasn't any of them. They weren't doing any of it. They just were willing to tell you, you know, where
they
you could get.
They shove you off.
Yeah, where A, B, go here to get this, go here to get this. Why aren't you doing it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's what my point is that, you know, these people are in need. They turn to you to help them. You know, you go to the, and now you say, well, hold on a second, you know, and like you don't want to be bothered. I'll give you to somebody that.
Kind of interesting. I got a text from a guy yesterday that said, hey, Pastor, he said, I dropped a pile of vegetables on a table inside the church if anybody needs anything. See, that's the kind of daily activity people need to be doing. You know, so-and-so's sick, I'm going to pray for you. And mean it. You know, helping people when they have it, when they're in need.
Absolutely.
Like
your backpack drive. I mean, everybody's involved in that, right? That's not just... You know, one person, obviously. I mean, you have a lot of people.
Well, my wife is the driver behind it. She's the one that packs them and puts them together.
Right.
But no, everyone is involved because they make sure that we get
I mean,
it, that it's funded.
Tables. Yeah.
People
yeah.
help us.
To make sure you get to the right table and that you go here and go, the, you know.
And we make sure. Oh, you're talking about the school.
Yeah, right.
School That's, supply drive.
Yeah, once they come.
Which, by the way,
yeah.
is on the 9th from 10 to 12.
Is that at Elgin?
Yeah, in the parking lot in the back.
That's what I'm talking about. When they go to actually get the supplies as well.
Oh yeah, everyone. Yeah. You know, not only are we all everyone bringing them in,
yeah,
all the difference.
Yeah, right.
But then we'll go out and help give them out and do those things.
Sure.
Take the time to do that. But the backpack thing with the lunches, it's the same type deal. You know, but it's a matter of it's kind of like this. If you saw me hold a door for an older lady or for someone or for anyone, you'd think, hey, that was a pretty nice thing to do, right? Okay, what if the other 29 days out of the month I let it slam right in their face? Now, would that make any sense?
What good was the one
what
day
good
you
was the one day? And see, that's the attitude a lot of times. I gave at the office. You know, have you given, well, they take United Way out of my check at work. Well, good for them. What else are you doing? You know, what else are you doing to help people in society? Are you willing? You know, how many times do people invite someone to church, but they're not willing to pick them up if they don't have a ride? Think about that one. My mom used to take this older lady, named Mrs. Geyer to church every Sunday. And Mrs. Geyer, I'll tell you what, I don't know whether it was Noxzema or what it was that lady had on, but I mean, it would take my breath all the way to church. But, you know, I remember as a kid sitting there in the back seat, and this lady just was smiling from ear to ear because someone picked her up and was taking her to church. I guess I just have to deal with that Noxzema or whatever it was that was taking me. But the point is,
for that 5 or 6 minute ride that you had, whatever it was, yeah.
And you know, Mom faithfully did it, sure. And because this lady needed it. Absolutely. Not because my mom was getting any brownie points anywhere for doing it. And those are the things. And here's the whole thing. And here I go back on saying politicians aren't going to solve anything again. But I'm saying this. One person at a time, folks. You do your job of what we're talking about here. You do it. Don't worry about saying, you know what, I do this stuff all the time, but no one else around me does it. You're doing it for the wrong reason if that's your concern. I'm doing what I need. We'll let Terry do it. We'll let Scott do it. We'll let Linda do it. We'll let all these people do it and let them do it. You worry about what you do and encourage other people to do the same.
And if I don't do what you do, that's fine because, you know, I mean,
that's on you.
Worry about yourself.
Worry about me.
Yeah.
You know, we spend so much time worrying about what other people have that we don't. Or what they do, or what they don't do. We need to focus back on me. And, you know, we've gotten in society where everyone thinks they're all supposed to have the same thing, regardless of the hours that they put in, regardless of the effort that they put in. And all of these things, the things that used to become luxuries to those that worked really hard to get them, have suddenly become a right for everyone to have. Well, when that happens, then all of a sudden you take the incentive away to get them. You see what I mean? If everyone's entitled to an 8-week vacation and a trip to Disney World, which I wouldn't go to anyway. I don't think I'd like it. But anyway, if everyone's entitled to that, what's the point in trying to work towards it? You see what I mean? So quit worrying about what everyone else has. Worry about what you do and what you can accomplish. Worry about your relationship with God. Are you walking right with God? Are you reaching out and helping others before you help yourself? Are you seeing and feeling a difference in your life? And I can guarantee you, Terry, that if you start putting others before yourself and seeking the wise counsel of our God, you are going to be a different person. I don't care where you've been. Oh, Pastor, you don't know where I've been. No, I don't. But you know what? You don't know where I've been either.
But you'll have a vision in the future of where you're,
exactly. Where you're going. You know, some of our brightest and best in the world have been incarcerated. Some of them have been in all kinds of things you'd never believe where they came from. Broken homes, abusive situations, places where they just didn't have any education, extremely poor. You know, we've got to get off this thing of feeling sorry for ourselves and to begin to feel like, what can I accomplish for someone else and see what it does for me? I think that's a pretty neat idea. Don't you think so, Terry?
I agree.
I really, really do. Hey, it's been a great week. Great time to be here with you guys. I want to remind you that our phone number at our church is 740-494-2222. If you really didn't want to call on the program today, but you'd like to call me and shoot me out at church, you're welcome to call that number. And, you know, I'd always be glad to talk to you.
And where are you guys located?
We are at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 is our Sunday school hour traditionally. And worship hour is at 10:30 service time. And we have midweek Bible study on Wednesdays. And we also have an evening service and youth group on Sunday evening at 6:30, along with many other programs. Team Kids get ready to kick off for the fall program for the kids. A lot of stuff getting ready to happen. So give us a call at 740-494-2222 or look us up at prospectccf.com. You guys have a great week. It's been great being with you. This is Pastor Steve Whitaker, along with my buddy Terry over here, and I'm signing off for the night. Take care.
You're listening to